Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Gospel lesson, verse 10. Going back a little bit more into the original language. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. Yeah, that's what it says in the Greek. The heavens being torn open. Now, if you go to the Gospel of Matthew, it says the heavens were open to him. And if you go to Luke, it says, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And it's commonly taught that the wording of the Gospel of Mark is so close to that of Matthew and Luke that when Mark offers a difference, it's a really good idea to notice and take a good look at it. Immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. The word being torn open, Greek, schizomenos, the English uses that root for schism, torn open. It's the same word, by the way, used in Matthew 27 when it describes how on Good Friday, when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And Isaiah, back in the Old Testament in chapter 64, said, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down, but this is exactly the opposite. Jesus has come down in order to rend the heavens and do so not from above but from below. You see, rending the heavens from above would imply judgment and the power and wrath of God coming out. Rending the heavens from below. That's very different. 2 weeks and one day ago, do you remember what that was? Tracing back, 2 weeks and one day ago. We celebrated Christmas. Yeah. Jesus entering into our flesh to be one of us, to walk with us, to hunger and thirst and be tempted as we are. And at the beginning of his ministry, to go to the Jordan and be baptized. And an obvious observation, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need baptism. He's the Holy Lamb of God, perfect in faith and perfect in life, fulfilling all of the commandments. He is the Word of God, the incarnate Word who brings the revelation of God. As John says, no one has ever seen God, the only begotten God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And there is just simply no way he fits into a baptism of repentance because he has nothing to repent of. Jesus doesn't need any of that. But we do. Oh, and how we do. Sinners who can't keep straight hardly any spiritual right and wrong, who mess up our own lives and the lives of those around us, who as a species, we seem capable of believing the most ridiculous things and then get into conflicts, fights, unrests, and wars over it. Who call ourselves peacemakers, and it's got to be the others that are building the conflict, and we are healers of division, and yet we end up doing exactly the opposite, and we don't even see it as we are doing it. Which raises the question, in a world of sin, where I am part of the problem, where do I go to get away from myself? And there happens to be an answer. And the answer is to the waters of baptism, where the old Adam in us should be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. As St. Paul writes, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6. See what Jesus earned on the cross. And you knew we were going there. It always seems to go back to the cross, doesn't it? But a saying of Luther's, what Jesus earned on the cross, he now distributes. What he earned once. What he distributes, forgiveness and life and salvation, he gives over and over and over again, as many times as you read the Word of God and hear about your forgiveness of sins and believe it. And when you were baptized. And as often as you remember that you have been baptized, washed and named by God, and as often as you come to the Lord's Supper to receive the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What Jesus earned on the cross, he now distributes. We need very badly the things that happened at the Jordan, and we need every bit of it. We need for Jesus to be born into our flesh and then to take that flesh and walk it down into the water of the Jordan River to take his place with us and number himself with the sinners. We need for him to bring his perfect faith into a baptism of repentance, because you see, he will take the place of those separated from God, and in bringing perfect faith into that place, he brings the words and promises of God back to us once again. We need for Jesus to name himself one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, so that he can name us with the name of God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We need for him to go there and rend the heavens and claim the beginning of the work of salvation, the beginning of bringing us back into fellowship with God, so that there is no more struggling on our part, but instead the quiet words, I am baptized. Historically, one of those who struggled with extreme agony to try and find a loving God would be Martin Luther, who, when he learned of the completed and finished work of salvation in Jesus Christ and how that had been given to him in his baptism, he would face down all of the doubts and fears and temptations with the simple word, I am baptized. We need for Jesus to go there and bring us those promises, so that we can have the first of the blessings Jesus brings to the waters of baptism. The heavens being torn open, the dividing wall broken down, the Son of God bringing us out of death and into life, so that we can stop trying to find something in ourselves to claim righteousness, so that we may find our rest and our hopes only in Jesus. Little story at this point. I'm guessing you've probably heard this before. At a certain point in previous congregation, I learned to develop the terminology, we renounce all other hope of heaven except for Jesus Christ and his cross. We renounce all other hope for eternal life other than Jesus risen from the dead. And how that began to develop and then how it came into sharp focus was one day in a hospital when I had an elderly man that was going into a surgery that he did not know whether he would survive. And I asked him the question as he was going through all of the turmoil and wondering how to think about it, how to quiet his mind, how to simply relax and let the doctors do their work. I asked him, do you renounce all other hopes of eternal life except for Jesus Christ risen from the dead? I happened to be holding his hand as I said that. And all of a sudden, he had something that he could grab onto spiritually. And he responded, yes. And then squeezed the knuckles together so that it caused very great pain. And I kept asking him similar questions to that. And he is going, yes, yes, yes. You'd think I'd learned my lesson. Until I had a lady in her mid-80s going in for some serious surgery. She was about yay tall, maybe 90 pounds, soaking wet. I decided to ask her the same question holding her hand. Oh, that guy, he had nothing on her. I had a hard time shaking hands after that for a week or two. But seizing on that one thing, that here is where the promises of God come to you. And then to see in Jesus where all of the promises come together, and they are there. At the waters of the Jordan, heaven is open and the wall between a holy God and sinful me breaks down as Jesus breaks it down from this side so that he can carry me by his own holiness into the presence of a holy God. The first blessing. Second, we need the events at the Jordan so that we can have the second of the blessings, the Holy Spirit, poured out on us to bring us into faith and keep us in faith. And you might remember how the catechism says it. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And you know and I know, we face a lot of temptation in this world. We need for Jesus to be with us. Which is why immediately after his baptism, Jesus went out into the wilderness to face temptation and to conquer it. And we need Jesus there in the Jordan for the third blessing, so that God the Father can speak, turning toward us in love and saying, "This is my son," or "This is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased." And you see, God has decided to take his blessings and by his word put them into the water. Something for the body as the water is poured over us. Something for the soul as the words are spoken into our ears and deep into our hearts and souls. And isn't it remarkable that God takes water, the stuff that we are mostly made of, and uses that to carry the blessings of his grace and mercy. And Jesus joins himself to our nature and our human flesh in order to bring every blessing of his cross, every blessing of his resurrection, and combine them with the waters there in baptism, so that we can come and hear that word of God and have that word of God and the name of God and the promises of God and the blessings of God poured over us. Because there is the water holding the word of God, the waters of baptism have all of the promises of God, the forgiveness of the cross, the resurrection of Easter, and every bit of eternal life. And to be frank, I need this water. Because right about now, I really do need something eternal in my life. Our nation needs something eternal. In Jesus, we have that. Amen.